So many stories fill the pages of life. Some chapters you can be proud to tell. Others you'd rather skip. The day life really turns a page is when you let God be the author of your story. Let God write your story, and you'll live a story worth telling. My story, I decided to start.
Well, good morning. Today we start a brand new 5-week series entitled My Story. How many of you love a good story? Huh? I think we all love a good story, and oftentimes, I think especially when I get together with my buddy Gary, because we go back from way back in like high school days, we always love to tell the remember whens, okay? And I'll say something like, Gary, remember when you went up to that girl and you said, you know, aren't you the one that sold us the pumpkin? And it wasn't that girl, and I knew it wasn't that girl, and then we got all embarrassed and everything like that, and we have all kinds of other remember whens that I probably couldn't share with you right now today. But anyway, oftentimes when it comes to those stories that we tell, we go way back and we love a good story. We love having fun. We love talking to one another. We love the fact that there's just something about a story, even if it's dumb, even if it's stupid, and we share that, it's always something really encouraging because we've gotten together with one another and we've connected with each other. We've got stories that we love to tell. There's always these stories that we love to tell, and I think about the stories that God would encourage us with, and a lot of times when it comes to those stories, there's some times in our lives where it's difficult. Sometimes there's some stories that, to tell the truth is, you really don't want to tell somebody else the story. Because maybe there's a chapter in your life where there's just some really difficult things that you go through. Maybe some times where you just really felt like there was a struggle going on in your marriage, or maybe there was this situation where you're really overwhelmed with just life in general, and in a lot of those different times, you go through that type of story, and you just want to say, God, would you quickly get me through that chapter, because I'm not liking this. Would you just get me out? What's interesting to me is when you think back in your life, and you realize that there's a lot of decisions that we made that had major impact in our lives and the story that we would tell. Do you ever think about that? Like there are some whys in the road, and we're just at this point where whatever decision you're going to make, it's going to determine the story that you're going to tell one way or the other. Sometimes it might be a situation where you're playing co-ed softball, and next thing you know, you didn't even know people like church people actually like softball. Like, isn't that crazy? And so you're playing softball, and next thing you know, you meet some of these guys that go to church, and they invite you, you come to church, and next thing you know, because of that decision to become part of a co-ed softball team, you come to church, and you find a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it changes everything about your life. That key decision changed everything. For some of you, maybe it was about college, and as you're in college, there's this one class, and you're thinking, that would just be a really interesting class to take. I don't even know why, but I signed up for it. Next thing you know, you love the subject, and that becomes the decision for the career. And all of a sudden, here's this wind in the road, and there's a whole nother direction that you're going because of that class that you took, and it changed everything. The other side is true, though, as well. The stories aren't always positive. And we just need to remember that as well, that there's a lot of times that we go through difficulties and we'd say, you know, I wish I never said that, or I wish I wouldn't make that decision. We just did this with our junior hires. I told them about a story that was kind of sad about somebody that made some poor decisions. And I told them, you know what, that person was right where you were at as a junior hire. And let me tell you, it didn't end very well because they made poor decisions. And so I reminded them that the decisions that we make today determine the story that we'll tell tomorrow. And what is the story that you want to tell? And God would encourage us to make good decisions. You see, our decisions really matter. They're important. Those decisions that we make are important. And the decisions we make today will determine the stories that we will tell tomorrow. I think about how in college I was leading Students for Christ with a buddy of mine, and we're involved in campus ministry and having a great time together doing ministry. And my first couple years, I determined that it probably wouldn't be good for me to date anybody because I just need to be grounded in God's Word. And so that was a decision that I made, just to say, you know what, get a good foundation. You need to develop your walk with Christ. You're just a young believer. So don't get into a serious relationship, because that probably wouldn't be a good thing. But when I was a junior, I think I was ready to date. And I'll never forget the time that this blonde, she was a freshman, the bluest of all eyes, comes walking through Summit Lounge at Akron U. And all of a sudden, there was something, you know, different. And I'll never forget the decision to ask her, not on a date, but could you come help me fix this toilet? Because we have this toilet that's broken, and we need some help. And she actually said yes. She said yes. And I knew it was love at first sight at that point, the fact that she would engage in that stuff. That decision to eventually date Bev and eventually go down that path where I propose and she said yes changed my life. And I'm so glad that I made that decision. The decisions you make today determine the story that you're going to tell tomorrow. And I have, after 36 years, a lot of stories to tell about my relationship with my wife and how God has used her in my life in a very good way as a partner. You see, that's the point. And all the way through this series, we're going to talk about how important our decisions really are. And the big question I want to ask today is, how do you live a story worth telling? How do you live a story worth telling? Because there's something really important. And all these decisions and everything else, there's something really important that if we don't involve God into those decisions and invite Him into that partnership, our story is just a story like everybody else about how we kind of, lived life, and we had this career, and, you know, we had three kids and a dog, and, you know, life was good, and then I retired, you know, down by the lake. And we just kind of tell a story, but there's not a whole lot to it other than that just sounds like a story like anybody else could tell a story. But a story worth telling is when we allow the Lord to be the center of our lives and we say, Lord, help us to fix our eyes on You. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning His shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us fix our eyes on who? On Jesus. And what does it say? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And Jesus is the one that helps us to have a story worth telling when you focus on Him and you allow Him to be the center of your life and you say, you know what, Lord, help me to walk with You. May You be the author and perfecter of my faith, because you know what? It makes a difference when Jesus, You're the one in control and You're running my life. Help it be more about Him and less about me. Because a story worth telling, and this is going to be all the way through our series, the story worth telling is one of this, that God is meant to be glorified in our lives, that we have a purpose in this life, and God is the one that's to be glorified. He's the one to be honored, and it's not all about us. And when there's this partnership, and we have this partnership with God, it is huge, and it's a great, awesome story to tell. Because it just adds so much more to the story. Our junior hires, we took some time to share their story. I said, let's say 50 years from now, what would you want your story to be? You know, they're 12 to 13, and so they had some incredible ideas of what it would look like, their careers and how many kids they would have and different things like that. We did that Friday night. We studied Daniel 6 Saturday morning, and then I said, okay, now what would it look like? if Jesus was the author and perfecter of faith, what would it look like? You know what? Their story changed dramatically. And I'll never forget Lily, who's 12 years old, says, you know, I want to use my art and I want to be creative, but I think I want to be a missionary too, because then I could use my art and my gifts there and I could impact people. 12-year-old, right? She gets it. She gets it. That a story we're telling is one where Jesus is the center of it, and he's the author and perfecter of our faith, and there's just something more enriching, there's something more exciting, more adventurous, more faith-building when Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. When he's the center of it, it changes everything about our lives. So today, may you fix your eyes on him, because it's a story worth telling. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at some different ideas of the story. And we're going to look at ways that we need to, at times, go. When God calls us, we need to go. And maybe it's a ministry like Operation Homes, or maybe it's another ministry like Operation Christmas Child. Maybe it's something where God's calling you to go overseas. And next week, Vicki and Alan Foster are going to share their story about going to Bolivia. And what a difference their life when they made a decision to hear God's calling and they went. And they're going to share about that and what a difference their life was because of that decision. Down the road, we're going to talk about things in our lives, disciplines in our lives, things that we need to stop because there's some bad habits that are in our lives. And Ben over here is going to share a little bit about Celebrate Recovery and the story of his life and how God overcomes and helps us to overcome addiction. And we're also going to have a time when we talk about faith and starting something. And faith is so important. And if you don't have Jesus in a relationship with Christ, I don't know how do you build a foundation without him. And Tom Little is going to share about how he came to faith in Christ, an executive with Sherwin-Williams. And I'll never forget the time I met with him after he trusted Christ. And I said, so what do you know about the Bible? And like totally unchurched. And so I had to walk him through Genesis to Revelation and talk about the Bible. And what an encouragement to hear how God used his faith and how he's working his faith to the point where you see him up there on Sundays playing the guitar. What a neat story he's going to tell. And then there's another idea, because at times God says no matter how hard it is, you need to stay. And I want to share the story of when I really wanted out of here. And I prayed. I said, God, get me out of here tomorrow. And God was silent. God, may I repeat to you again what's going on here and why it would be easier for myself and my family for us to leave Medina. Silence. And I stayed, and I can see why God wanted me to stay. And I'm glad the story of my life has that in the chapter, and how God redeems, even in the midst of brokenness and hurt, God redeems and God brings life. And we're going to talk about that. So today I want to talk about a story worth telling. In order to do that, I want us to turn to Daniel 6, because this is just a reminder that when you allow God to work in your life and he's the center of it, it's a story worth telling. And Daniel made a decision early on in his life that he would walk with integrity and that he would be a man that would have the right kind of response no matter what happened in his life. And even in the captivity, when he was taken captive and he went to Babylonia, when he was there with the Medes and the Babylonians and under captivity, there was a reminder that he needed to stay true to his faith and his walk with God. And in chapter 6, we're told that Daniel made sure to walk with integrity and not cave in, even though it would have been easier to do so. And as we tell this story, I want you to think about Daniel later on after the story. And would it be a story worth telling? And would it be something that you'd say, man, I wish I had more of those Daniel in the lion's den kind of stories? Oh, to have faith and to walk with God in those times. So we're told in verse 1, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps, Can you say with me, satraps? Those are just governors, okay? So those are governors. That's what they referred to them at that time. They were governors of this province, and they were pretty important over the kingdom. And then there was these three administrators over them, and one of them was Daniel. So remember, he's in captivity. He's in a foreign land, and he shouldn't be in this position of honor. But because he interpreted dreams and because those dreams came true, he was placed in a position of honor in this kingdom during the captivity. He was a Jew in a foreign land. And we're told that now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Do you get what's going on here? He distinguished himself. He made decisions in how he would carry himself to the point where he distinguished himself among a lot of good leaders. He rose to the crop. He went and distinguished himself, and he was found higher and more worthy than a lot of the other administrators and the satraps. It says that because of his exceptional qualities, that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom, and at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. Can you say, we're jealous, right? That's what's going on here. And he's the foreigner. He's the guy that shouldn't be in this position of honor. How dare the king put him in a position of honor? They were unable, as they looked at all the things in Daniel's life, they were unable to see anything that was going on. Notice what it says here. At this, the administrators, the satraps, they tried to find grounds and charges against Daniel and his conduct. You know, let's look for things that he's not a good administrator. He didn't email when he should have emailed. He didn't, there's nothing there in his workload that would say that he should be charged something of making sure that they could get rid of him. But they were unable to do so, so they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. In other words, he was a man of character. There was no corruption in him. Oh, for us to have, in the sea of our whole political thing, oh, to have more political leaders where we could say this about them, right? No corruption. And notice as well, he wasn't negligent as well. So it wasn't just that there was character qualities of being a person with no corruption, but he also was diligent in what he did. And because of that, there was no neglect going on in all the things they did. And finally, these men said, we'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. In other words, you better take the God card and you better put that out there because there's no other thing that you're going to be able to find that's going on. So the administrators, the satraps, went as a grip to the king and they said, may King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, governors, now they're bringing everybody. We have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Where's Daniel in all this, right? We've all agreed. No, I don't think Daniel was part of the discussion. And here you have this coup attempt, right? And we'll trick him. Now, your majesty, issue this decree, put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. So he went through this and he goes ahead and does this. And now notice verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Man of prayer. Man who understood that God was sovereign, even in the midst of this captivity, even at a time when he shouldn't be here with those people, even in the midst of the betrayal. Here's this God that's sovereign. God is good. He's good at all times. And he understands that and understands that God is sovereign. He just does what he's always done. He prays to God. He seeks that relationship with God. He says, okay, God, you know, what should I do? And he knows that he just can't do anything else but do what he's always done, which is to pray and seek God and trust him and walk with him. And he understands that there's consequences to those actions because the decree has been given. And he doesn't really care because he's a man of integrity No corruption was found in him. He walks with integrity, and he just does what he's always done. And because of that, you know the rest of the story. He's thrown into the lion's den. He's thrown into the lion's den, and God miraculously saves Daniel. At the light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den, and when he came near to the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God," because the king didn't want him to die. The king had to go through with what he had promised, and he wanted to believe that this God could save Daniel. And he cries out, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me, because I have found innocent in his sight. No, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, O king. You know my integrity." And the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found in him because he had trusted. Remember that. Trusted in his God. He was faithful. And he just did what he always has done. And he prayed, and there was consequences. In the midst of it, God shut the mouths of the lion, because he had trusted in his God. Woo! That's a story worth telling. I mean, that's an incredible story to tell, because he fixed his eyes, right? On the God Almighty, who was sovereign, who was in the midst of all this, even in his captivity, even at a time when he would have said, "Betrayal, and I don't like this, and get me out of here." And he could have made a decision to do that as well. But he chose to honor God and walk with integrity. And even if it meant losing his life, because he had a story worth telling. And he wasn't going to cave, because he had always made decisions like that. And he just walked as a young man down that path of integrity, no matter the consequences. And imagine Daniel in his 60s. Sitting down with the grandkids, telling that story. Can you see their eyes? You know, wow. And the lions, you know, real. Can you imagine all of what took place? And the truth is, that happened. That's history. That's not just a story. That's just not something made up. It was a story because God wanted to show his power and his might, even in the midst of that captivity, that he was greater and God was at work. And he used that in the lives of this king, to the point where this king said this: "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of the kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he's the living God and he endures forever, and his kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He prospered. And that king, Darius, had a story to tell. It changed everything about his kingdom and about how he reigned, because he saw God at work. And Daniel influenced the political kingdom at that time in a foreign land. And it had major, major impact. So I look at that story, and I just think about our lives. Does God care about what we're going through like he cares about what's going on in Daniel's life? And the incredible thing is, God hasn't changed. Incredible thing, the God that still is on the throne is still doing the miracles in people's lives and still authoring stories today and helping people connect with him and helping them develop a relationship with him, so that they see God at work in the midst of all that's going on. No matter what we're going through, God's the author of our story, and he's right there with us. You might be in a situation where you're saying, "God, I don't see you." And God's just over here waiting, saying, "Okay, the God of Daniel is the God that can bring about life change today. And I'm right here with you. And I'll walk with you through the journey." Or maybe there's a situation where you're saying, I got to make a decision. I don't know what the decision is. It's pretty important, and it could change everything about my career. It could change everything about where we live. And the God of Daniel is a God that helps us and gives us wisdom to make decisions today that will impact the story we'll tell tomorrow if we seek him and ask him and pray. Some of you might be in a situation in your marriage where you're just saying, I'm overwhelmed with what's going on here, and I'm troubled by how we're just not connecting, and I don't know, it might end in a divorce. I don't know what's going on here. And my question to you is, will you allow the God of the Scriptures, the God of Daniel, to come invade your life and bring about change and help you see that the God of Daniel is the God of today, and he brings about life change in marriages today because he cares about our story. Over the summer, when I think about 2017, man, a story worth telling, right? Incredible. Like, it really started in 2016 because our house didn't sell for like 9 months. Somebody was coming through a series that I had done, and they're like, your house still hasn't sold? You know, you're still telling the same story Sunday after Sunday about your house not selling, things like that. They're like, it seemed like it was even longer than that. I'm like, oh. And then how God provided all the way through to allow us to downsize and provide that cottage for us down by the lake, and another miracle, the boat, and another miracle, even just recently, how somebody decided to buy back my SUV and, you know, like gave me full price. And there's just so many stories to tell, 2016, 2017, and God's the author and perfecter. And I'm always amazed that when we keep praying and we seek God, how he promises to intersect our lives and be the author, perfecter of our faith if we would only cry out to him and say, God, help. Two times I prayed. One, I prayed a lot, but two times I prayed, and I remember specifically God answering. Sitting across the lake and looking at that cottage and saying, God, would you provide a way for us to have that house? But about 6 months before that, praying and saying, God, this is hard. Would you bring about that time where we can sell the house and move on because we just need to move on? And God answered prayers. And I have a story worth telling because of praying and seeking God and asking God to, in a sense, be the author, perfecter of our faith so that we have a story worth telling. What's your story? What's your story? Do you feel you're living a story worth telling? Why or why not? Do you understand the value that God wants you to have a story worth telling? And what decisions need to be made today so that your life will be a life where God is the author and God is the perfecter of your faith? But you have decisions to make today that will determine the story you'll tell tomorrow. And here's what I want you to know. God is a God of life. And he breathes life into our story. And he loves us when we just sit down and say, God, I'm desperate. I need you to work in my life. And he shows up. Just like he did with Daniel, he shows up in our lives and he breathes life into them. We all want that, right? More of that. We all want more of that in the days ahead. Let's pray as we close. Lord, I thank you that you're the author of life. And just as you protected Daniel, you are always at work in our lives. And you are able to write a story for us where we know, Lord, that you're right there with us. And when we keep our eyes on you, you're the author and perfecter of our faith, and we can know that there's a God that does amazing things, just like he did with Daniel, that can bring about a story worth telling in our lives. And so I pray, as sons and daughters are gathered here today, I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage them to make decisions that invite you in, make decisions that would say, Lord, you're the center of our lives. You're the one that we're focused on. And we're tired of doing it our own way. And we're tired of just the routine. We're tired of just living lives where it's all about us. We want to have a story we're telling, and we want it to be more about you and your plan. And we want to see, Lord, that you're a God that blesses and goes before us. And you can make a path for us. And you can give us good gifts because you're a good Heavenly Father that cares about our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have more of you in our lives. And that you would be the author, that you would be the one writing the story, and rather us being the ones that just keep doing what we've always done. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God of life, and you breathe life into us. And I thank you, Lord, that you are writing stories today that are going to encourage people today in this place to have a story worth telling. I pray that the decisions that are going to be made here soon would be good decisions, and you'd help them make wise decisions so that, Lord, your story would be told. I pray your blessing on each and every one. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.